Okay. So let's begin tonight's conversation. You know, sometimes we believe in omens. We believe that, like, oh my gosh, something is happening, and this, like, says something about what's going on in the world. So we started a series of shiurim a couple of weeks ago about Shatnez. And last week we did a shiur, we gave a shiur on what is considered wearing Shatnez, and I thought that we'd be done with that. But then we decided, you know what, we'll go a little bit more, we'll do a little bit more. And then our luck, it turns out that, like, this week we ended up, like, the biggest Shatnez scandal, crisis, whatever you want to call it, in a long while. And I printed an article for you that is found this week on theyeshivaworld.com. So this is obviously one of the most reputable news sources up out there. This is fair and unbiased news. You know, the Yeshiva world, it's mamish, unbelievable. Rabbi Yair Hoffman, who's actually a very fine Talmud Chacham. He's a really, really good guy. So Rabbi Hoffman writes halachic articles on the yeshivaworld.com. He teaches in Far Rockaway. What? He's not a YU graduate. I don't know where he went to yeshiva. I think he went to Chaim Berlin or something. But Rabbi Hoffman decided to write about what is becoming rapidly a big scandal called Uggs. Now, those of you who are guys probably don't really have much of a sense what Uggs are, but Uggs are, like, very popular boots and shoes that often have, like, sheepskin or wool inside the boot. And some people are inside the shoe, and they keep you warm, and they're wonderful. Are you wearing Uggs now?
I'm not.
Sure. Okay, just checking.
No.
And people noticed that the Uggs have Shatnez. So suddenly, it's mamish a scandal. It's almost like when they found out, you know, the sheitels had, like, hair that might potentially be avodah zara, and people are, like, are pulling them off, and people are not using that, and it became, like, a big issue about whether or not you're allowed to wear Uggs, because the Uggs might have Shatnez. So what I'd like to do with you now is kind of read this literature together, and I want to show you how to read news articles, which is carefully, and based on that, we will understand somewhat of the Metzius, and then we'll try to look at the halacha about Shatnez in shoes, and then we'll talk about Shatnez in galoshes, or people know what galoshes are?
Yes.
It's like you put, like, these rubber things on top of your shoes, etc. So that... So let's say it's not only made of rubber. Let's say there's a sole in it and there is wool and linen. Kenzine, anything is possible. Let's go. So Rabbi Hoffman writes that they come in boots, slippers, sneakers. They are called Uggs. They are behind the first major Shatnez crisis of 2019. Awesome. In the writing of this article, the author has been in touch with three Shatnez laboratories. Among them, the well-respected Rabbi Yossi Sayag of the International Headquarters of Professional Shatnez Testers in Lakewood, New Jersey, and the Uggs company itself. Stop. Three major Shatnez agencies, if you look through this, is Lakewood, there's Montreal, he quotes, and Gateshead. Okay, three major Shatnez laboratories. Here's the thing.
Not Williamsburg.
Okay, there is a big machlokus in the world of Shatnez between Williamsburg and Lakewood, right? Lakewood is, pardon the expression, into uncovering, discovering, finding Shatnez in various places, and they will announce it to everybody. And Williamsburg is into, you know what, you bring me an item to check it, I'll often tell you it doesn't have to be checked. The Williamsburg Shatnez Laboratory is much less, it does much less checking. Now, we'll discuss next week that there's some halachic basis for not checking a lot of stuff. The basic rule is that you have to check things when there is what we call a miyot hamatzoi, when you have a significant percentage or a significant minority percentage that it will have an iser. For example, right? If I have an animal and I check the animal, so the halacha is that the animal could become treif in many different ways. There are 18 ways an animal could be treif. Let's say the animal has a hole in the brain membrane. That's a non-kosher animal. Do we ever check the brain membranes of animals?
No.
The only thing that we check in the animals are the lungs. Why do we only check the lungs? Because we assume that the lungs have a miyotamotsui in them. The lungs are, again, we'll use the number 10%. We'll talk about that next week. That the lungs are likely to have dreifus in 10% of the cases. Anything less than 10%, or some poskim say 7.5%. Anything less than that is called a miyotamotsui matsui, and there's no obligation to check. So by virtue of the fact that I find shatnez sometimes, that does not mean that you have to check it. So Uggs, right? They found shatnez sometimes. We'll look in this article in a few minutes. But he says he checked with a few reputable shatnez laboratories. Absolutely. But not Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, they will not, they feel that there's no obligation to check stuff unless you know that it has shatnez. Now, or you know that it's likely to have shatnez. I'll say it like that. It's a machlokes haposkim about how you magdir miyotamotsui. I spoke to the Williamsburg Laboratory today. We'll talk about that next week a little bit. Fine. That is one issue which is obviously important. Now, the other thing that's important is as follows. In industry, generally speaking, things are made in a uniform sort of way. Things are also made in the way that they try to make them and manufacture them as cheap as possible. No one likes spending money. Nachon? Agreed? So now, if I could get a button on my jacket, and the button will cost $4, or I could get the same button made in China that will cost $1, what am I going to do?
Go to China.
Go to China and get the button for $1. Nachon?
Yeah.
Now, collar stiffeners in men's suits often have shatnez, right?
Yeah.
But I could get a linen collar stiffener that will cost $5. Or I could get a synthetic collar stiffener that will cost 50 cents. What am I going to get?
50 cent one.
50 cent one. Good. Two for two.
Well, you can't do that because it's shatnez.
Okay.
You said it was
If I use
No, it's the other way around.
If I have a linen cotton stiffener, it's more expensive, and that's going to be shatnez. A polyester one, right, or a synthetic one, won't be shatnez. Generally speaking, companies will not use linen in their materials because linen is expensive. Generally speaking, if you have a choice between a linen and a synthetic, you will use the synthetic. By the way, the person I got most of this information from, I should quote him, is Rabbi Mark Spivak, who the founder of YUTorah.org. So in terms of the amount of Harbatzas Torah that this fellow has to his credit, it's extraordinary. Rabbi Spivak is now a Rav of a shul in West Orange, New Jersey. And I always speak to him about shatnez issues. He, knows the stuff. So he pointed out to me just that, today everything is manufactured in foreign countries.
Yeah.
So Uggs. Let's talk about Uggs. They found shatnez in a few pairs of Uggs. And now there's a halakhic question whether we have to be nervous about the Uggs, right? Did they find shatnez in all the Uggs? No.
How many did they check?
What?
How many
did they check? So we'll talk about that in a minute. But at one point in this article, here, so if you turn to page 3, you'll see the "So what is new?" So what is new? On February 14th, there was a communication sent from one of the customer care representatives to a woman named Chaya. Presumably, she's an Orthodox Jewish woman. The customer care representative, Emtayofa Tofuya, stated that all of the Decker Ugg shoes, in fact, contain linen. It was this communication that set off the firestorm. There's an email. If you look at the original yeshivaworld.com article, you could see the text of the email. Just to keep things like the 4 pages, I decided to cut it out for you, but it says what it says it says. So, there's an email that says that they all have linen. That could be a problem. Now, it's unlikely, though, that she's right, that this M. Tafoya is right, because linen is much more expensive. Why would they put linen in? But people got nervous. The customer care says it's linen, they get nervous. And they are combining that with the fact that there have been times that Shatner's checkers, mostly in Lakewood, Gateshead, etc., have found Shatner's in Uggs. Right? So if we just read, and we'll try to read this quickly to show that seven, here, the facts.
There's got to be a rhyme or reason. I mean, the other ways, certain factors they do,
Wait. Okay. The facts. Seven models of Deckers brand Uggs have, at times, presented a problem with Shatner's. That word, at times, is critical. You see, in my thing, I underlined it. Right? On page one, where it says the facts. Right? Seven models. And these are the only seven models that some posts can say might be an issue. Because the other models, really, we're going to discount that email. That's what we'll say later on. But seven models have, at times, presented Shatner's. Report number one. There's a blue canvas sneaker that has wool in the inner heel of the shoe. It is called Ugg wool. They found some linen fibers in the canvas. Okay. Now, let's just talk about one halachic issue right away. First of all, Uggs are generally not made out of threads. No? If you... I don't think anyone here... Right? There are no... The wool in Uggs is basically attached to a sheepskin. Wool. It is not threads. This is very, very important halachically, because we learned that Shatner's d'oraisa has to be threads. Right? Shatner, you cannot have Shatner's min ha-Torah if it's not threads. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it's a thread, we also have rules that there is no bittul on Shatner's. Let's say I have a big garment that's all wool, and there's one linen thread sewn into it, the whole thing is Shatner's. But if I don't have threads, so then the halacha is I follow rove. I follow the majority. So if I have an Ugg, by the way, it sounds so bad, no? An Ugg, right?
Yeah, no.
It really, it's an awful name. Mm-hmm. Oh, but I think that's part of the attraction. So if I have it, if I find an Ugg, so it says over here, there's Ugg wool, and they found linen fibers. They did not find threads. There is no evidence that they found threads in these. Report number two. A black lady's Ugg slipper has an insole with a reprocessed canvas. By the way, also, all these things are found in the soles of the shoe.
It's not the Rabbanon if it's not a
foot,
it's not the Rabbanon.
What?
It's not Shatner's.
It might be Shatner's Rabbanon, but it's not Shatner's Dereisa. It's Zichr, not Shatner's Dereisa. Certainly, right? Not Shatner's Dereisa. And then we'll talk about it further in a minute. Report 2. A black lady's Ugg slipper with an insole had a reprocessed canvas under the insole. Some of them had Shatner's. Now, what's going on over here? Right? What's going on over here is like this. They are making stuff cheap in China. And when they make stuff cheap in China, they also don't have such great quality control. So, you have these canvases. And the canvases are synthetic. But you also... Right? But you're also, because you're not, let's be honest, the factories in China probably don't have the highest standards of anything, right? So there's some linen fibers that got stuck in there. And there have been cases of finding linen in the Uggs. That's correct. Absolutely correct. Does this mean that it's a problem? Right? Does it mean that you have to check your Uggs? Well, that depends whether it reaches 10% or not. Right? Do they manufacture them like this? Not likely. All of the reports over here use the word sometimes, some of them, at times. There is zero evidence that Uggs have Shatner's on a regular basis. Zero real evidence. Besides that one email that was sent, there is no real basis to assume that Uggs are manufactured with wool and linen. No saf al kach, we have our question that because it is not threads, it could be that it will be bottle. If you just have some fibers mixed with some wool fibers, it could be it is going to be bottle. Look at all these reports. You see the words at times, etc. Now, report 6 and report 7, though, are curious. Because they write that something is mislabeled. Yeah?
Sorry, going back to report 2. I thought were there previously that if the shatnez itself is hard and you're not worried that it'll wrap around you, basically.
So if the shatnez, yeah, that's what the Gemara says. If the shatnez is hard, you're not worried it's going to wrap around you. So what are you trying to show from report two?
So report two, the potential problem is below the sole even, so your foot never comes into contact with it.
Your foot never comes in contact, but remember we spoke about the Gemara about the princess and the pea. Let's say I have 10, I have 10 mattresses, and the shatnez is at the bottom one. I'm still worried. Shema yikarech neima. I'm so worried. Maybe I'm gonna, right? But that's only if it's like soft shatnez. If it's hard shatnez, it could be there's no problem. So that's another svara lahakel that we'll talk about. If you look at Tosfos in Beitza on Daf Tesvav, so Tosfos in Beitza on Daf Tesvav basically says that if something is shatnez derabanan and it's hard, there is no iser when it's on the floor. When it's at the bottom. Shatnez drabanan, that's hard, there's no iser. So that's another svar lahakel. Okay? We just present...
Is it hard?
So the insoles are generally hard. Again, I'm not going to get into, nor do I know, what's considered hard, what's considered soft. But the bottom, it's not like fabric. It's like... It's a sole. The sole of the shoe. So let's go on. Report, again, this is all the Torah that comes from the yeshivaworld.com. Report 6 and Report 7. Report 6 says that that it's mislabeled. There's a pink Australian shoe sneaker labeled 85% wool, 15% nylon. It's actually mislabeled. It's actually a linen cotton blend. The inside by the heel has a wool insert. Okay, now this is a problem on a few levels. Mislabeling. Can you believe labels? Now, traditional kosher, I mean traditional until the 1950s, was that you'd go to the store, no pork, what could be bad? You'd eat it, no? This was traditional 1950s hashgach. On some level, the shatnez world is still operating like that. You read the label. Now, in this book called Hashatnez LaHalacha Ulamasa, which I took out of the YU library, they have an essay that you cannot trust the labels because by law you only have to label things when it has more than 15%. And we hold any tiny amount, if it's a thread, is going to be Shatnez, so you can't trust the labels. The Williamsburg Shatnez Laboratory, however, says, Adarabba, that you do trust the labels, not because you trust the labels, but because the reality in our world is that they're not going to include linen. They won't include linen because linen is expensive. They won't include linen because they tried to do it cheaper. If they would include linen, they would dafka want to show off to everybody, oh wow, we have linen. It's amazing. Like a Gucci suit that's made out of linen, the stuff is worth its weight in gold. No? People, they don't use... This is the svara of Williamsburg. Williamsburg is saying that you don't have to worry. You read the label. What?
Sounds like
a...
Svara from Rabbi Belsky, that he would say...
Rabbi Belsky is Mekel. Was Mekel. By the way, this Uggs issue is not new. The Uggs issue came up 20 years ago. A lot of these halachic scandals...
Wait, actually Uggs?
What?
Oh, was it actually Uggs?
I think Uggs is an old company, yeah.
Why did it come up?
Again, the guy in Williamsburg told me, yeah, I dealt with this issue 20 years ago with the Uggs. I had a conversation with him on the phone. So here's the thing. A lot of these issues keep on resurfacing. Like people a couple years ago were very worried about the sheitlach, about the wigs that had Indian hair that maybe avodah zarah, right? So it happens, if you look at where Moshe Sternbach's truth is from the mid-80s, he dealt with that issue. Right? The issues reappear and reappear and reappear. Right? And like just when you forget about it, suddenly a scandal. Uggs or shatnez. Now mislabeling can be an issue, but I don't know if you have to worry that things are mislabeled. Like, generally speaking, you know, they're not going to mislabel. Obviously, you know, if they mislabel stuff, they could get in trouble. Right? So, okay, let's go on. Here. Moccasins. Top of page 2. This is the Heiliger Ugg moccasin. And there's a good picture here. from the desk of the Montreal Shatnez Laboratory, Rev. Michael Harush, just found underneath the wool fleece lining of an UGG moccasin slipper a piece of starched, that should be linen. It was located behind the tag. See pictures. Now, there are numerous manufacturers that Deckers uses for UGGs. Many Shatnez labs have taken apart UGG's shoes and have found no linen.
Deckers
is a company that... Deckers makes UGGs. Now, you think I know this stuff? I only know what it says here in the yeshiva world. This is my source of all knowledge. Now, basically, it seems that they found Shatnez in a few cases, but there are real svaras why it's not halachically a problem, because it's not threads, it's going to be batal, right? Maybe you don't have to check it because it's not a miyat hamatzoi, etc. If you look over here, he gives you the halachic issues. The question was posed to a number of gedolei haposkim. Reb David Feinstein and others said basically that you don't trust the customer service representative that they all have linen. You only have to check those here. How do you say it? Until word is received from more senior people as to whether or not all the shoes contain linen, one may rely on the fact that apart from the 7 known models, Shatnez checkers have not found the linen. So those 7 models have found it, etc. Update number 2 is an email from UGG to Rabbi Yair Hoffman, the author of this article. We've been contacted by numerous members of the Jewish community following the release of erroneous information. Our products contain both wool and linen. Please be assured that none of our current UGG footwear products contain both wool and linen. Thank you.
Can you believe them?
So can you believe them? So they quote...
Well,
so they quote that Rav Harfenis, who's like a very serious posek, Rav Harfenis says that you can't believe the companies when they are writing stuff down. This is difficult. In Yerideya Simin Sadiches, we have a discussion about Goyim. When do you trust a Goy or not? Again, according to the Mechaber, according to Sephardic Jewry, if some milk falls into my chalent, I can take a Goy and ask the Goy to taste the chalent and see if there's any milk in it. The question that everybody asks is, one second, right? How do you trust the Goy? Right, there's potentially a din d'oraisa, and the halacha is that goyim are only trusted when it comes to dinim d'rabbanan, not to dinim d'oraisa. Right, that is the big question. Shach, Taz, everybody and their uncle asks this question. So there's a few answers that are given. The Bali Hataisus and Sadi Ches and Chulin say umen lomarum nasei. They say professionals won't put their professional reputation, their credibility on the line. They're not going to lie to you. Others say that you can trust them. This seems to be the approach that the Shach takes, because it's a milsa David Oligluya. They're not going to lie, right? Because you could catch them in the lie, right? They're going to tell you that the cholent doesn't taste like milk. Then what you're going to do is you're going to take a bite of chant. You can say, "Ben, there's milk in it," or "Yum, there's milk in it," whatever you're going to say. And therefore, the guy won't lie to you. There's a number of other explanations as to how come we trust Goyim. But to argue that we don't trust the guy is a difficult argument. Now, the psak of the Ramah in Yerideya is that we don't trust Goyim. Ashkenazi Jews don't rely on the Kfeil Aramah. Ashkenazi Jews always require Shishim. Does that mean that we don't trust Goyim when it comes to other areas of Halacha? Or is that a special din in the Halacha of Tam? Many poskim assume that's a special din that today we don't have the same sensitivity in our taste buds that they used to have. And that's why we don't trust Goyim. But when it comes to linen and wool, by the way, you know how you test linen and wool? You burn it. You burn a little bit of the thread, and there's a different smell of linen and synthetic, actually. The expert Shatnez people like walk around with like a cigarette lighter. Seriously. Like, the really good people, and they're like, right?
Yeah,
you can do it under a microscope also, but you don't walk around with a microscope. You walk around with a cigarette lighter, no?
But you're a Shatnez lab, don't you have like...
So Shatnez labs have microscopes, yeah. But basically, here. he quotes on the top of page 4, Rav David Harfenis ruled that the company does not have nemunis if they put it in ksav in writing. I do not understand
Wait,
that at all.
Does.
He writes, the company does have Neman, so
right.
Putting aside. Right, that's correct. So I think, it seems to me that there's not much of a concern over here with the Uggs. And we can develop this idea halachically a little bit more. Because there is a Mishnah in Kilayim. Okay, let's now begin to learn Torah. Okay, there's a Mishnah in Kilayim. The Mishnah writes that a min al shel zered, we're not exactly sure what type of shoe this is. It's a min al shel zerev or zered. It's a shoe that you wear. Zerev is probably the same as sherev, which means like in the hot sun. It's a shoe that they wear. There's no issue of kilayim in it. The Torah in Siman Shin Aleph puts a Gemara in Beitza, the Adilayim, there's no kilayim. The Gaonim say that these are things that they wear underneath their shoes, and they put some skins underneath it, etc. And opposite the heel, there is some wool over there. There's no kilayim because the heel is hard and it doesn't get warm. Meaning, I'm not allowed to wear shatnez in the beggar that warms me up, no?
Right.
We spoke about how dead people are allowed to wear shatnez, because let's be honest, dead people don't get warm. Zazen and stiff, right? That's what they are. They are cold. And that's, by the way, how you tell. Should I do this? It's a little bit gross. But the way you can tell about how long someone's been dead is whether they are warm to the touch. I've been there. Whatever. You don't want to know this. But, okay. This is like the least favorite part of the job in the rabbinate, is to be with people when they die. Again, for me, the hardest thing in the rabbinate was whatever, saying vidui with people. Right before people die, that's the hardest thing. Once they're dead, it's much easier. But moving the body is a little bit of a challenge once they're dead. We try to move the body only with Jews. We treat it with a lot of respect. And you can tell, depending on how quickly they come, sometimes the body is cold, sometimes it's warm. It's generally by the time they come, it's not like, whatever. Okay, it's not warm anymore. So, the Rambam then writes, the Torah quotes the Rambam, that, Amin al shehu kilayim ve'ein lo ekev muta lo sho she'ar harego kasha ve'ein lo nene kisha'ar ar hagof. The Rambam says that if you have a shoe that's kilayim and it has no heel, you're allowed to wear it because the heel is hard and therefore it doesn't give you benefit. Now this Rambam is like a head scratcher, and this Rambam causes a lot of difficulty. You see, it would make sense that if the heel is hard, or the heel is, I should say, something that doesn't get warmed up. No? Think about it. If you've ever walked, I remember in yeshiva in Israel, so they had like stone floors. And you wake up in the morning, and before you put on your slippers, like it wakes you up like a second. You stand on the stone floor, you're like, you jump up like 15 feet, no?
Yeah.
You've had this experience?
Yes.
Right? Apparently, the heel is not as sensitive. I think that's true, actually. The heel is less sensitive than the ball.
I mean, it's thicker skin.
It's thicker skin. It's less sensitive.
The
right? So the Rambam writes that because the heel is hard and it doesn't benefit like the rest of the body, therefore a shoe without a heel is not a problem of Shabbos. So like, the Rambam is a scratcher, no? It would make more sense, a shoe with a heel, not a shoe without a heel. And there's a whole literature about this. Here, let's look in the Aruch HaShulchan. We'll skip the Rambam itself. The Aruch HaShulchan writes, HaRambam writes the opposite. The Rambam writes that a shoe that is kalayim and there is no heel, you're allowed to wear it because the skin of the heel is hard and you don't get benefit, it sounds like that the heel is worse than any other part of the body. And v'hu tamua, this is very difficult because we know that the heel is harder, etc. So v'kosvu, so some write, t'zesha kosav ein lo ekev la mishum dinahu d'hu adem b'yesh lo ekev o dekachu melechas hamin al. Because the Mishnah writes, and when the Rambam writes that the shoe has no heel, he just means that that's the way they used to make shoes. Is that true? That people ever make shoes without heels? Again, it made a little bit of sense because if the heel doesn't need anything to protect it, but the Kesef Mishnah says that's how they make shoes. It's also possible that if it has a heel, it looks like a regular malbush and therefore it's usher. Some say that you have to change the text of the Rambam, and the Rambam means ein lo ela ekev. Right? The Tosfos Yom Kippur changed the text of the Rambam, and the Rambam is talking about basically something that's not a full shoe. It's like a bottom on the ground, and you don't have anything covering the top of the foot. You just have like some strings that you tie to hold it in place. But if something is a full-fledged shoe, so then it's warming up at least the top of your foot, and then it's going to be a problem. Some say, basically, that the Rambam is talking about anything that goes on the heel, because the heel doesn't get benefit, so therefore there's no issue of shatness. So the Aruch HaShulchan concludes. V'hinei. We have galoshes, and inside these galoshes, you have some red wool, and under the wool, you have a piece of linen that goes down, and it doesn't go on the top of the shoe at all. Basically, it's a sole of the shoe. And the truth is, this is not really linen. It's only a type of canvas, which is junkier than linen. Right? Why would they make it out of linen if they could make it out of cheaper stuff? Since you don't see it outside. And it looks really junky, but who cares? So we also heard that's not a problem. Omnam, l'das ha-ravam, shetach dis ar ha-rego hu kasha, b'lav ha-chi ink shash b'zeh, shezeh eno ala b'tach tiso, u'pasha t'heter b'chol ha-olam e'elu ha-min olam kayadua. Says the Aruch HaShulchan that the minhag in the entire world is that we're not worried about shatnez in the sole and the heel of a shoe. Based on the Rambam. Now again, it's not abundantly clear that this is the pshat in the Rambam. But the Aruch HaShulchan says this was the minhag. My father-in-law told me that Reb Fayavel Cohen once commented to him that he's less interested in the Aruch HaShulchan's analysis and more interested in when the Aruch HaShulchan says this is the minhag. Right, the Aruch HaShulchan's analysis you can debate. But if he says this is the practice, that means people... What?
Do these Uggs have a heel or not?
So look in the pictures. These Uggs, the problem is found in the heels of the Uggs.
They do have heels.
What? The shoe has a heel, but most reinterpret the Rambam, right? That even if the shoe has a heel, it's okay, and the minhag spread that way. The minhag of the Aruch HaShulchan is, if you have shatnez in the heel, it's okay.
But he says clearly because it doesn't have a heel.
What? The Rambam says it clearly doesn't have a heel, but it could be that all the Rambam means is that the minhag in his country is that they make shoes without heels, but even if it would have a heel, it's okay, because the heel doesn't, isn't mesnameim. It's ora ikev is kosher. Again, so the Rambam completely disagrees with the Rambam. Right? But the minhag, I'm just telling you what the minhag olam is, the way the Aruch HaShulchan presents it. Right, it's very debatable. There's five or six different approaches within the Rambam. But the minhag developed. Now, I should note, just to conclude, because it's getting a little bit late, that if you remember, there are two dinim of shatnez. There's a din of levisha, and there's a din of halaa. Right? There's wearing it, and then there's also just putting it on your body. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan comments that in his opinion, shoes are never considered levisha. Shoes are only ha'ala'a. Right? What that basically means, and he writes this at the end, that the Gemara in Yuma speaks about wearing clothing, and, right, we have Urim and Yachef. Urim means that you're naked, that you're not wearing clothing. Yachef means you don't have shoes on. Right? In the morning, there are two brachos, no? Sha'asa li kol tzarki, al malbish arumim. Sha'asa li kol tzarki is going on your shoes. Malbish arumim, clothing and shoes are different. Some of the poskim say that when you have to have big day Shabbos, there's a special din in Shulchan Aruch, you have to wear Shabbos clothing. Shabbos clothing means clothing. You don't need Shabbos shoes, some poskim say, because shoes are not clothing. Hey, that's the approach. Now, basically, what the Aruch HaShulchan is saying is that anything with shoes is not considered levisha, it's considered ha'alah. It's putting it on you, but it's not wearing it. If that's the case, so then the halacha that we have in shatnez, that if I have a very long talus, and the shatnez is in one corner, that the whole beged is usher, that's a halacha in levisha. But in Ha'ala, that does not apply. So one could argue that when it comes to shoes, there is less of a concern than any other thing because of all these additional svaras. It might only be Ha'ala, not Lavisha. If it's Ha'ala, only if it warms you up. If it's on the bottom of your foot, if it doesn't warm you up, it's okay. And if it's Ha'ala, maybe I don't have to worry if it's over here versus, as opposed, it's only a problem if it's right underneath me. And if it's the wool, so it could be it's not threads, and therefore it's less of a problem. And that's apparently what Rav Belsky said. I would argue that there are many reasons why you don't have to check your Uggs for Shatnez. If you decide to check your Uggs for Shatnez, kol hakavod, but if you don't check your Uggs for Shatnez, I think you are still a respected member of the Orthodox Jewish community, and thank you for listening.